Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Trashy Divorces.
Trashy Divorces? What do we have going on this week, Alicia?
Stacy, I'm glad you asked. We have a whole family saga of trash candy coming for you. Interconnected so Trashy Divorces alums. Mm-hmm. I think we have proven this week that we can barely keep up with the Kardashians.
It's true.
Y'all wanted it. This has been on your list for so long. We have way too many names to list on this one. We hope your trashy hearts are satisfied. We went ahead and covered the family in an overhead 50,000 foot view thing, being that it is a 1 hour-ish program.
We floated above the Kardashian plains.
We can't mention everything.
So mapping the land.
We can't mention everything. So if we left your favorite bit out, or there's an essential part of the story, be sure to let us know at trashydivorces.com. We're going to talk about everything we potentially missed in Trashy Tidbits on Patreon on Tuesday.
Yep. Speaking of Patreon, Alicia, what have we been up to over there this week?
Oh gosh, we had Trashy Tidbits as usual on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Wednesday, I did a deep dive expose into Lady Jane Grey.
You did a TikTok on the 9-Day Queen. It was fascinating.
I did a 90-minute episode on the King and Queen and Queen of 1553 and the 9 Days Queen and the Ascension of Mary and the death of Edward and the downfall of Daddy Dudley. It was very exciting.
That was a fascinating story.
And Thursday in your flaming dumpster fire, sure, you brought a scorcher for us.
Yeah, like early first great awakening evangelist George Whitefield, who was one of the founders of Methodism and also got slavery legalized in the colony of Georgia, which
I had no idea.
No idea. It was a crazy great story. All right, so we have in our magic mirror this week, tremendous thanks.
Big thanks. Y'all are the very best. Who joined us this week?
We have Grianne W., Jessica, Caitlin H., Shelley D., Celia H., Jennifer S., Lauren S., Amanda G., Shauna K.,
D.H., Tracy L., Tori S., Rachel C., Marita R.P., Jessica B., Kendra T., Getty S. Thank y'all so much for joining Team Trash Candy over on Patreon. We also had a new
super supporter, Jason S. Thank you so much, and also hello.
Thanks for being a trash candy connoisseur.
Alicia, are you ready to try to keep up with the Kardashians?
Well, as Chris Kardashian says, you can get through anything as a family.
Is that true?
Yeah, that is true.
Well, we should probably
go, go, go.
So, Alicia, you have the origin story of some people who I've repeatedly asked you to tell me the origin story of over the years, and you do, and then I immediately lose the information. So, I'm just going to let you have the floor and tell me again why these people are famous.
Well, we're going to start with the couple today that starts the whole thing. We're going to talk about Chris and Robert.
Okay.
Robert's family is Armenian. They're proud of it. He's born in Los Angeles. Family's a big deal. Robert's going to graduate USC in 1966 with a business administration degree. Goes on to law school.
Pretty sure it costs like $8 a semester to go to USC at that point in time, and I'm jealous.
After law school, he practices. He has a bunch of ideas like movie tunes. Resourceful dude. Robert also has become BFFs with O.J. Simpson in like 1967.
Okay.
And Robert is dedicated to his BFF OJ. I don't know if OJ reciprocates that, as time may tell, but alas, they're buddies from the late 60s on.
Right. Things will happen in the future that are very important.
Kristen Hooten, also born in California, San Diego this time. Chris is a November 5th baby. She's a Scorpio. Never just an ordinary girl. No matter what you have to say about Scorpios, they are industrious AF and they get the job done. Her parents divorce when she's young. Chris will graduate high school in 1973 and also meet an 11-year-older hotshot attorney and businessman, Robert Kardashian.
The Movie Tunes guy.
The Movie Tunes guy.
And was he like trademarking?
Yeah, he did. He sold that cut. Dude, he's okay. Robert Kardashian, sorry, February 22nd. He's a Pisces boy, just barely out of being born on the cusp of sensitivity. There's a horse race one day. She's 17. He's 28. Which age? Like, whatever.
Time's a flat circle. Who cares?
But the pesky thing is that Chris already has a boyfriend. She is dating another older dude who is a professional golfer. But he travels a lot, and Scorpio girls get lonely. So one day, Chris and Robert start a secret liaison, and one day the golfer catches them in flagrante delicto.
What?
And this will free Chris and Robert up to pursue the relationship in the open.
Oh my gosh, her older boyfriend caught his underage girlfriend
with another older dude. You got it.
Wow.
Okay. So this will leave Chris and Robert to pursue their liaison, which is great. But then Robert is going to dump Chris to date another Trashy Divorces alum, Priscilla Presley.
Yikes. Okay.
Chris is mad. She does not like being dumped for Priscilla Presley. So Chris is going to get a job as a flight attendant. And eventually Robert and Priscilla will fizzle out. And back Robert comes to Chris. Chris will move into his mansion. They date for another few years. Now Robert, the Movie Tunes guy, kind of loaded. But Chris is saving up her money for new tires on her beater of a car. Robert is like, she needs to learn the value of a dollar. Like, Robert doesn't support her. Chris is still like, she's an industrious lady, this one. I feel like Robert's dream for her will come true, knowing the value of a dollar by the time this story bears out. But alas. So Chris and Robert have already helped their buddy OJ flirt with the new young hostess at the Daisy, Nicole Brown. And everyone is thrilled that the two couple friends are BFFs. And in 1978, Chris and Robert will get married. Chris is 22, Robert is 33. Like Priscilla Presley, Chris will get pregnant on her honeymoon with Courtney. Another three kids, born in pretty rapid succession, Kim, Chloe, Robert Jr. And Chris will say later, she had the perfect life. She had everything she could have ever wanted, and she got a little restless, got a little bored. And she was looking for a little something different than what she had.
A little strange.
Chris will begin an affair with her personal trainer. I see this in some spots, other places. This is a soccer star. Robert will find out. He will promptly file for divorce, leaving Chris and the four kids and like $200. The $200 is mentioned in every narrative of this thread I can find.
Part of the origin story then.
So like this is 1990. Their divorce is done by 1991. It is not a great divorce as it goes. There's lots of feelings, just like Trashy Divorces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of feelings on both sides.
We are not judging the feelings. We do like it when they're hilariously bad to each other, but, you know.
Chris will say that the affair that she had when married to Robert is one of the biggest regrets of her life. She had a wonderful life. She feels enormous guilt about the damage that was done to Robert and the kids through this transgression. Fair. Totally get that. Chris will go on to date again before the divorce from Robert is final.
And not just date.
Chris will get set up on a blind date with a former Olympian and one of the greatest athletes of the 20th century, Bruce Jenner. That will be the only time I use Caitlyn's dead name in the whole story, as people should be addressed how they would like to be addressed for always and all time. Caitlyn is, like Chris, a fellow Scorpio. Her birthday is October the 28th. Again, never just an ordinary girl. Caitlyn and Chris meet. It's fireworks. They fall head over heels, smitten kitten and all that. Chris and Caitlyn will marry a few months after the divorce from Robert is final. and all the families get merged. There's a total of 8 kids.
Right, because Caitlyn's got a gaggle as well.
A lot is happening. Mm-hmm. There's 4 kids on the Kardashian side, but Caitlyn has been married twice before Kris. She has 4 kids of her own that will foldish into this Brady Bunch kind of thing, kind of. It takes a while. Let's talk about it. Caitlyn's first wife is Christy Crownover. They marry in 1972. They have 2 children in their 9 years of marriage. This is also a pretty busy time for Caitlyn with athletics, because from 1973 to 1976, Caitlyn will compete in 13 decathlons, and in every one of those, only lose 1 event through those 3 years, which leaves her ready to go to represent the United States in the 1976 Montreal Olympics, where she takes home the gold. She's on a Wheaties box. Like, everything a top-level athlete can dream of. Her dreams are coming true, but this is a little bit of a false shell for Caitlyn. Caitlyn has grown up being dyslexic, so athletics are where she can excel. It's perfectly good. But from the age of about 10, Caitlyn is sneaking in and wearing her mother's clothing and noting exactly what hanger that garment was on in the closet so she can very carefully put it back. Caitlyn says she has been struggling since being a young child with gender questioning. I'm going to use a quote from her memoir about this time. Quote, life would become a sealed box, and over time the sides would become even higher and ultimately impossible to scale. But try she does. Caitlyn marries Christy in 1972, and Christy says that Caitlyn revealed her truth in the first year of their marriage. And Christy really supports her, not only financially through her athletic career, but emotionally as well. Christy wants Caitlyn to feel good about herself. Christy will also go on to admit that the truth being out there will cause an underlying unrest in their marriage. They will stay together throughout Caitlyn's athletic career, but Christy will ultimately leave, saying that the marriage ended because Caitlyn could not accept herself. They divorced by 1981. Caitlyn, no time to wait, will go on to marry Linda Thompson in that same year, 1981. After her first divorce, they will have their first child 5 months later.
Wow, okay.
Caitlyn, during this time, in the beginning of this marriage, will begin hormone therapy in secret and electrolysis treatments. Caitlyn's taking a few more internal chances. Also, Caitlyn is giving speeches to these large corporate audiences with undergarments underneath her suits to a little bit more correctly match the gender in which Caitlyn feels. Mm-hmm. Caitlyn will tell Linda one day, like, hey, honey, we need to sit down and talk. And Linda's like, I thought this was going to be about an affair. I didn't quite see this coming, but Caitlyn will reveal her truth to Linda. And Linda will later say it broke her heart to see how much Caitlyn struggled with this. After 2 kids, Caitlyn and Linda are divorced in 1986, leaving Caitlyn feeling kind of humiliated and terrified of being discovered. And her kids will say, we kind of felt abandoned. They grow up thinking it's somehow their fault, and it's not. And
yeah,
Caitlyn, right, knows it's her fault and can't, like,
it, right, and can't verbalize. Yeah,
like, real people, real struggles. Mm-hmm.
Well, and in this case, fame must have been a hindrance.
What an extraordinary yoke that is to bear when you are famous on an identity that you can't identify with at all.
Yeah.
It's the sad part of the story. Mm. Caitlyn at this time just says telling the truth was impossible. It was just so hard. So she's definitely struggling, goes through a few more years of struggling. But alas, we're going to skippity-doo-dah to that blind date in 1990 with the separated but not yet divorced fellow Scorpio, Kris Kardashian. They date. They're going to marry in 1991, just a few months after Chris gets her divorce. Chris and Caitlin work together on fitness videos and stair climber equipment, and Chris is Caitlin's wife and manager, and getting her bookings and speeches, and they start this blended family, and it's all going great. Because really, Chris has learned the value of a dollar. So the newlyweds are doing okay, bringing the family together.
When, all of a sudden...
Yeah, there's a little bit of
dramatic event.
Huge, enormous strain put onto this new marriage with the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson. He was still Chris's best friend. Worse is that Robert's best friend, OJ, is arrested for her murder.
Did it.
I mention it here because things are testy with Chris and Robert at this time, and all the kids are involved in this parent-struggling tragedy. And Chris and Robert will reconcile as friends and remain that way to his death in 2003. Please check out our episode with Erica Kelly for the OJ and Nicole story, or any other podcast in the entire world. We'll probably pick up some loose threads and trashy tidbits this week. I have some good ones saved, but I really am attempting to stick to the narrative here.
Right, and the People versus O.J. Simpson, is that the miniseries that was
great?
Fantastic.
Yep. So good. Another City Not My Own, Dominic Dunn's book on the case. Fantastic. There's a little juice in there that's coming into Patreon this week. Anyway, no, sticking to the narrative. Okay. Chris and Caitlin, still married, working it out, blended family, and here's where it gets a little tricky. Because stories will diverge on how it all falls apart. So the Kardashian family's doing their thing and their reality show starts. But before this, Chris and her daughters have opened fashion boutiques. Like, Chris is a hustler. And Caitlin is speaking and stuff. And Chris and Caitlin will go on to have two daughters together, Kendall and Kylie. All good. Until it all falls apart. Caitlin will say that she had been on hormones for 4 years before she started dating Chris. Caitlin says she was honest about everything, but may have downplayed it Chris.
Yeah, that seems likely.
We had a...
Also probably downplayed it in her own mind. Like, this is a struggle for people.
Well,
like,
and that's the thing. This is a 23-year marriage. Chris, on the other hand, will say that we had a good marriage and I was clueless. Caitlin lied to me about the reason for her first two divorces, and living with her, her behavior was always erratic. She was always blowing Chris off, and when Chris does ask questions, Caitlin would be like, you wouldn't understand. So Caitlin, again, like her first two marriages, not entirely happy with herself or accepting of herself, which means you're probably not going to be truly fulfilled and happy in a marriage, no matter how great your partner is.
And you can't be authentic with your partner because you're not being authentic with yourself. So
that's it. Well, here's a twist. Is there are some people who do know Caitlin's secret. Kim will see Caitlin dressed up one day and panics. Like, oh, I get the secret now. And Caitlin will call and say, please do not tell anyone. But Kim has already gone and talked to Courtney about it. Like, I can't imagine how insidious this would be in a family to keep this kind of secret for a...
Yeah.
Real people, real problems. So Kendall and Kylie know too. So Caitlin would often get up before she would wake up Kendall and Kylie to get ready for school and dresses herself to de-dress, to dress like dad again to wake them up. But apparently, like, the girls witnessed this one day and love Caitlin totally. Like, it seems like Kendall and Kylie have very much supported Caitlin's journey. Chloe is the last to know. She says she finds out with Chris right before a business meeting and is like, what the hell? She had no time to process this. Chloe and Caitlin will remain estranged for a lot of years. They don't speak for a long time.
I think they're still more or less estranged from what I saw.
There's a lot to unpack happening in Calabasas. Because Caitlin, by the day, is growing more comfortable in herself. She's going to start meeting with a plastic surgeon in 2013 and begin to fully emerge as Caitlin. She will write a memoir, which again brings on a whole boatload of mixed feelings. Chris and Caitlin announced their separation in 2013. Chris will file for divorce in 2014 with the much beloved classic Irreconcilable Differences.
Old hits. We all know the beat, though.
Golden oldies. So with the release of this memoir, though, the general consensus from all the kids, like, we were cool with your transition, but why did you trash our mom like that in your memoir? Mm-hmm. Chris is furious. She feels like Caitlin lied to her for the longest time. Caitlin will say Chris only married her to make Robert jealous. Like, there are a lot of things flying back and forth, and the truth is going to lie in everyone's own heart. Chris and Caitlin will finalize their divorce in 2015. Caitlin now has a bestie and manager named Sophia Hutchins. She and Sophia live and work together, but both attest nothing is going on romantically with them. They're just besties. Chris, for her part, has been dating Corey Gamble since 2014. Corey works for Scooter Braun and was Justin Bieber's tour manager when they met. So there's like a 25-year age difference.
So she's living in Cougarville?
Get it while you can.
Right on.
The latest line I can find on these two lovebirds is from, like, they've been together since 2014, mm-hmm. like, long-standing relationship.
Yeah.
These two lovebirds, last line on them is from May of this year, where Chris is kind of excited about how much sex she and Corey are having, and that sex at her age is a beautiful thing. So it appears like Chris is having a marvelous time post-divorce. Also, Corey is born November 10th, is a Scorpio too. I just can't. This whole story is Scorpios. Also, Chris, Kathy Griffin, and Melanie Griffith, all Trashy Divorces alums now, apparently have a club.
Yeah, they're neighbors. Yeah, the Kardashians are neighbors with, some of the Kardashians are neighbors with Kathy Griffin. I don't know which.
It appears like everyone is living a good life post-divorce from Chris and Caitlin.
And that is all we can hope for anyone, really.
I got one more.
Oh.
Ish. Okay. To talk about. Kourtney Kardashian.
Mm.
Born April 18th. She's an Aries. Kourtney is the first child of Chris and Robert. Kourtney's never been married. She may be a genius. She may be the smartest one.
She may be the smartest
She's
one
the
of them.
She's the Kardashian with a college degree. FYI, the only one. No trashy divorce. But a whole 11 years of a trashy relationship to this dude named Scott Disick, who is the father of her three children. Scott is a May 26th baby. He's a Gemini. And Gemini and Aries really can have something. But Scott and Kourtney have been on again, off again. You can see the entirety of their relationship on Keeping Up with the Kardashians and the myriad of spinoff shows they both have if you really need the details. So many details. Kourtney and Scott, like most couples, have had some struggles. They begin dating in 2006. They split in 2015 when Scott will hook up with Sophia Richie, the daughter of a future Trashy Divorces story coming this season. And Scott and Sophia are kind of scandalous. Again, find a tabloid if you need the juice on this. Scott and Sophia recently have broken up. And again, the press, much like Brad and Jen, are eyeing a reconciliation between Kourtney and Scott. The two of them will continue to state that they are co-parenting and nothing is happening. But again, sparks fly. Aries and Gemini do have a thing when they pair up, fire and air. And both in the springtime, like, it's wrapped up and all the possibilities of the new earth and just, you never know. I'm always going to kind of have my eye on this one. Scott says that Kourtney is the only girl he's ever loved. Are they tragic lovers or just very smart to have stayed out of divorce court? Dear listener, I will let you decide on that one. And that, Stacey, and Trash Pandas, takes me to the end of my Kardashian trash.
That is the front 50% of our Kardashian episode.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our most excellent sponsors, and we will be back with the rest of the Kardashians.
Sounds good.
Seriously, I'm trying to keep up.
We know that everyone right now is facing some unexpected obstacles in life.
I know that I have been much benefited by the professional counseling that I was able to get from BetterHelp.
Yes. BetterHelp lets you connect safely and privately from your home online, so it's convenient, secure, and really on your time scale.
It was easy. I took a quiz. They assessed my needs. BetterHelp matched me with my own licensed professional therapist in less than 24 hours. Mm-hmm. No uncomfortable waiting rooms.
It's budget friendly too. It is more affordable than traditional offline counseling.
This is available for clients worldwide. Licensed professional counselors who can help you with depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem.
It's everywhere. It's in all 50 states. And in fact, they are recruiting additional counselors.
As a Trashy Divorces listener, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/trashy.
Join more than a million people who are taking charge of their mental health. Again, that is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/trashy for 10% off your first month.
Stacy.
Yes.
After last week, you sold me.
On tasty, effective CBD oil?
Yeah.
And gummies?
Like you, I have anxiety and a hard time falling and staying asleep.
Really?
So you've been using the CBD oil from Colorado Botanicals.
Yep.
And this week, I tried the CBD gummies, strawberry flavored.
Mm-hmm.
They arrived in just the best packaging, eco-friendly, boxed beautifully. I'm a sucker for packaging.
I know you are. Yeah.
I can't help it.
It is nice packaging.
Love the gummies. And again, THC free. So I'm still getting everything in my day done, but with less stress and anxiety after a full night of sleep.
There's just more focus.
All of Colorado Botanicals products are lab tested with a 30-day risk-free trial.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the results, friends, you can get a full refund. You have nothing to lose.
It's a great deal.
Right now, you can try Colorado Botanicals by visiting COBOCBD.com.
Mm-hmm.
And using the code TRASHY, you can get 15% off your first order.
15% off when you type in TRASHY at checkout.
COBOCBD.com. Colorado Botanicals.
Botanicals from Colorado.
So, Stacey, you're going to take us through the back half of this Kardashian train.
The back half of, yeah, this was fun for me, actually, because, as you know, I'm, like, committed to remaining ignorant about these people because I mock them when I'm aware of them. I know there are many fans of them, but taking a sort of 50,000 foot view, I felt like I'm floating in a hot air balloon over the valleys of trashiness. All right, so I'm just gonna dive right in to the second daughter of Kris and Robert Kardashian, Kim.
Ah, the middle kids.
Kim Kardashian, born October 21, 1980. She's a Libra. In Los Angeles, of course. Caitlyn Jenner became her step-parent in 1991, bringing with her a gaggle of step-siblings, but apparently Kim had a pretty good relationship with all of them, and as blended families go, things were not terrible. When she was late into her teens, she started seeing a music producer named Damon Thomas, and don't you know, one day when she was 19, she tried ecstasy for the first time and married him.
No.
Oh, noes! Yeah, that's the story now, anyway.
Oh, my.
Yeah, she said this in a 2018 episode of the reality show that they're on that I didn't even know existed until this episode. So, how up
I am.
We've
been trying to keep you up for years, Stacey.
Woo! Yeah, she went on to say that the second time she took ecstasy 2 years later, in 2002,
oh, no.
That's when she made that sex tape with her boyfriend, Ray J.
No.
Brother of Brandy, the singer and actress. So, just oopsie.
Maybe don't take ecstasy.
Kim Kardashian probably stopped taking ecstasy. Anyway, I suspect these may be justifications made years later, but... Okay, the first marriage was unhappy, and obviously they had split up long before they actually divorced in 2004, and she suggested that he was at the very least emotionally abusive.
Was this the one that lasted like 78 days?
No, we're coming up on that one.
Oh, Lord. Okay. There's a lot to keep up with.
It's... Yes. That's apparently why people can't stop watching this family. So that happened. The sex tape doesn't hit the world until 2007 when Ray J sold the footage to a company called Vivid Entertainment.
Yikes.
So I'm going to kind of deep dive on that for a second. A few things. Up to this point, Kim had just been a wannabe celebrity, a daughter of wealth, someone who, according to Perez Hilton, quote, did the closet thing, which is she helped her celebrity friends organize their closets.
Oh, would clean them out and sell their stuff
on eBay. Then split the proceeds. Did the closet thing.
Great.
She was a hanger-on. She'd been a stylist for Brandy, which is probably how she met Ray J. And then, like, they're not friends anymore. This is also a family of many burned bridges. Brandy's mother sued the Kardashian kids in 2008, alleging that they had run up $120,000 on her credit card. The case was dismissed, although that may mean that they paid to make it go away. Not sure.
Oh, my.
And these days, Brandy just says that they grew apart. But apparently, they were really tight at one point, back before Kim was Kim Kardashian.
Interesting.
So Kim had also been friends with Paris Hilton for forever. So when Paris and Nicole Richie launched their reality TV show The Simple Life in 2003, Kim clamored to find a way to be involved. So this is how Kevin Dixon, a former editor at In Touch Weekly, explained Kim Kardashian in this period to Page Six. Quote, I had become friends with Kim, and she would give me stories about herself every week, and we would promise her coverage, and then the editors would back out. So it was really hard to get her coverage. Then she got on The Simple Life. That was one of the conditions we gave her for us to be able to write about her in the magazine. You have to be on TV. She was on for literally less than 90 seconds. But that was enough for us to start putting her in touch.
Wow.
So Perez Hilton followed up saying, back then, one of the things that got her a lot of attention, in addition to being Paris Hilton's friend before the sex tape and before the reality show, she was the very first girl that Nick Lachey was spotted on a date with after a split from Jessica Simpson.
Really?
The singer whose short-lived marriage to Lachey was chronicled in MTV's Newlyweds. It was only one date, but of course, conveniently, they were photographed by the paparazzi on the date. Wonder how they found out about that.
Conveniently.
Alicia, I imagine right now you're concerned. You probably have this image in your mind of young, guileless Kim Kardashian with no aspirations to fame, just a deep and pure desire to help her celebrity friends however she can. And why are all these mean people saying such nasty things about her?
That is absolutely my concern.
Well, fear not, because one of her lawyers, a guy named Marty Singer, absolutely told Page Six that his client would never and had never leaked information about themselves, so they would be written up in Page Six or The Post. Uh-huh. He was very specific in naming those outlets, which are really the same Murdochian outlet, which makes me think that maybe Kim of Los Angeles just didn't know anybody at the New York Post at the time. Anyway, in very late 2006, according to Page Six, someone called the offices of Vivid Entertainment and said they had some interesting celebrity footage. Unnamed people brought the footage in. I mean, we assume it's Ray J or one of Ray J's friends. Yeah, okay. Vivid was quick to note that Kim was not involved, although even that's, there's speculation that she was totally involved the whole way through. Meanwhile, Kim was at Australia's Bondi Beach with BFF Paris Hilton for a long holiday vacay. Her friend at In Touch hears about the sex tape and tries to call her in Australia, but fun fact, time in Australia runs sideways and everyone just chooses what o'clock it is. So it was
your 19 time zones.
It was quite some time before he heard back, and then it was not Kim, but Paris Hilton herself who was blowing up his cell phone. So apparently the early reporting had it that this tape included an activity known as water sports, which... Don't Google, the tape didn't, but, okay, so from Kim's perspective, she's like, well, there's no way a tape like that exists with me in it, so, ergo, I am not in this tape, that's not me.
Can't be me.
But alas.
Ecstasy makes you forget things.
It was her, there were no water sports, and it was her, so she files suit against Vivid Entertainment in February of 2007.
Good for her.
Attempting to stop the tape's release. In March, Vivid released it.
Oh.
They titled it, perhaps with some understanding of Kim Kardashian's dreams for herself, Kim Kardashian Superstar.
No.
True story. Yeah, that's super gross. Super gross.
Super gross and super mortifying, and she didn't consent to this. Like, there's some real...
No, I agree.
Problems with how we treat women in the world.
True. In April, she settled the case reportedly for $5 million. So, side note, apparently Ray J thought that the sex tape was going to make him super famous on par with his sister.
How'd that work?
So, he had a on-again, off-again girlfriend who is now an author named Corrine Steffens. She says, quote, Ray will say that Kim wrote off of him, and maybe initially he was her springboard, but to be honest... Really, she springboarded off of Paris, did a little somersault, landed on his penis, and springboarded right off of that into the world of white girl famous.
Good writer.
Good writer. All right, so the sex tape happened. It made Kim white girl famous. It apparently also ruined her friendship with Paris Hilton, who had had her own sex tape years before, which I think is why all of this happened anyway.
Didn't garner anywhere near as much attention as this one.
Yeah, The Simple Life got canceled, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians premiered later the same year. That's kind of the timeline, and I think why they're not friends anymore. So that show continues to air today. Season 18.
18 seasons.
Kicked off in March. And it's apparently slated for season 19, but probably there's a COVID hold on filming.
Sure.
On October 31, 2010, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, Kim was spotted courtside at a basketball game and soon after revealed that she was dating a basketball player named Chris Humphries. This is the 72-day guy.
78 days. Okay.
All right. So he's born February 6, 85. He's an Aquarian.
Mm-hmm.
Things escalated quickly and they were engaged after just 7 months.
Oh, my.
He popped the question with a 20.5 carat, $2 million ring in a bedroom.
Whoa.
Where he had spelled out, will you marry me, in rose petals. Aw. They raced to the altar in August, marrying in front of 450 guests, including Ryan Seacrest, Lindsay Lohan, Lala Vasquez, Eva Longoria, and a bunch of the New York Nets basketball team, which he played on at the time. So E! Aired a two-night, four-hour-long special called Kim's Fairy Tale Wedding, a Kardashian event, on October 9th and 10th. And because irony can never die... On October 31st, just 1 year after that first sighting of Kim at one of Chris's games, she filed for divorce.
Done.
The marriage lasted 72 days.
Wow.
There was lots of scuttlebutt about that marriage, including plenty of people drawing the fairly obvious conclusion that it was all a publicity stunt.
Sure.
To promote all things Kardashian. Team Kardashian denies this. As the divorce was in process, she started dating Kanye West, June 8th, 1977, a Gemini. Who by then was a smashingly successful recording artist who had already been called a jackass by none other than Barack Obama. It was a perfect fit. They've been married since May of 2014. They have four kiddos. Kim had difficult pregnancies with their first two kids, North and Saint. And their youngest children, Chicago and Psalm, were born through surrogacy. You're making the correct expression on your face as I name these poor children. They're not poor, though. These are some of the richest children in the world.
Yeah.
All right. So I know we're up 30,000 feet above all of this, but I do want to point out, as much fun as I have kind of making fun of the Kardashians, Kim has done some advocacy that I really back. The family has Armenian heritage, as you mentioned, and she's encouraged both the Obama and Trump administrations to recognize the Armenian genocide.
Good.
Which is like permanently stuck in our politics, because it was the Ottomans, but it was Turkey that conducted the Armenian genocide. And Turkey's our NATO ally, and so it's awkward. Like, anyway, it's overdue, though. It has not yet been formally recognized by the United States, but hopefully it will. Just yank that Band-Aid off. She has also convinced President Down 10 points to support the First Step Act, which was a pretty historic package of prison reforms.
Yes.
If also, only, and I stress, a first step. She also may have faked a robbery in Paris in 2016 for attention. So let's say Kim's a bit of a mixed bag.
Complicated.
All right.
Do we know how she feels about being first lady now that her husband is, I mean, I know we talked about her two trashy divorces, but her husband is now running for president.
I think it's safe to assume that Kim Kardashian would relish the role.
Moving on.
Okay, on to the third K of the Kardashian kids.
Chloe, she's my favorite.
Chloe, is she? All right. Yeah. Chloe Kardashian, born June 27, 1984. She's a Cancer.
Is she really now? Chloe makes so much more sense to
Does
me
she?
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with this family and basketball players, but Chloe is apparently into tall guys. Very.
Well, Chloe is tall.
She is
5'10". Chloe is significantly taller than, like, Courtney's 5 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
Chloe
okay.
is the...
She's our height. She's 5'10".
Super tall.
As women go. Well, she likes men who are a good foot taller.
Nothing wrong with that.
Chloe actually preceded her older sister in racing to the altar with a giant, handsome athlete. In 2009, she married LA Laker Lamar Odom, November 6, 1979, Scorpio.
Oh, God, really? Bless her heart. No, Scorpio and Cancer are a perfect match.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, they do really well together. I had such high hopes for them.
Okay, well, I'm not sure why, because they had known each other for exactly 1 month.
They're Kardashed.
And the wedding, of course, was filmed for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because later it spawned a separate but short-lived reality TV show, Khloe and Lamar.
I watched that.
Did you?
Everyone.
All right.
I remember the gumball bathtub.
In 2013, Lamar was nabbed for DUI, but refused to give a chemical test, which is generally a bad move. There was rampant speculation that he was using drugs, and in December, he pleaded no contest to the DUI. He got 3 years probation and 3 months of alcohol abuse treatment as a sentence, and days later, Chloe filed for divorce.
Mm.
However, even though they were negotiating terms and finally signed on the dotted line to end the marriage in July of 2015, a judge had not signed off as of October 13th, 2015, which is the day that Lamar became unconscious at the Love Ranch brothel in Nevada.
Oh, not good, buddy.
Yeah, he ended up hospitalized with, I guess it's like complications from a cocaine overdose, I think is probably, there may have been some mixing, he may have been taking like herbal Viagra, anyway, it was a bad scene. He went into kidney failure, he had several heart attacks and a series of strokes.
Oh my.
He fell into a coma, he was on life support for close to a week, it looked very bad, and then he woke up. At this point, though, Chloe is still legally his wife, and so I think this was, like, after he woke up, she withdrew the divorce request. She was quick to know, not because they'd reconciled, but because he
just
needed...
Just give him time to
recuperate
and heal.
And there were medical decisions to be made, and he was recovering from a series of strokes. And,
sure.
Yeah. So, like, apparently, you know, whatever flaws there were in their relationship, she was apparently very supportive of him. His recovery went really well. I mean, he really bounced back in a way that I don't think anyone expected. So by summer, he was much better, and she refiled, and they were divorced in December of 2016 for realsies.
Okay.
And I think he's gone on to do just fine in life. Like, I think he got clean and has stayed that way.
I sure hope so. He was dealing with some definite real people, real struggles, man.
Yeah. So during 2016, she began dating another basketball player, Cleveland Cavalier Tristan Thompson.
Oh, my.
Born March 13th, 1991. He's a Pisces.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, the problem is he apparently likes to swim around in plenty of people's pools.
Oh,
so
no.
The pair would have a baby, True, in 2018. But the joy was marred when it was revealed that Tristan, that bastard, had cheated on her with the best friend of her half-sister, Kylie Jenner.
What?
Dun-dun! That's all I have on that story, yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, the drama. Like, it's hard to even know, like, you say real people, real problems, but also, really? Like,
no, we all learned in Gilmore Girls that if you are named Tristan...
You're not wrong. All right. Our final Kardashian.
Oh, the baby of the family.
Rob. Robert Jr. Rob was born March 17, 1987, also a Pisces.
St. Patrick's Day baby.
Oh, there you go.
Is he all kinds of lucky? We'll let you decide, listeners.
Yeah, I don't have a... He's never been married, so I don't have a ton on him, but he had a nice and trashy split from model and his former fiance, Blac Chyna, born May 11th, 1988, a Taurus. How's that? A Pisces and a Taurus, water and earth? Just seems muddy. And they're kind of right next to each other, right?
Yeah, bad. They're not. Pisces is at the old end, and Taurus is spring. Yeah, that's not a match destined, at least on the sun sign surface, for success.
Well, the good news is they had a baby together.
Good.
So they were also, of course, the stars of a short-lived show called Rob in China.
No.
Which ran from September 2016 to December 2016, followed the couple, who had become engaged earlier in the year after dating for 3 months, as they prepped for their daughter, Dream Renee Kardashian's birth.
I learned it by watching you, Mom.
Yeah, so basically what happened is this show wrapped up in December, which is about when Blac Chyna, like, grabbed the baby and moved out. The month-old baby and moved out.
Whoa.
They have, like, it's funny, as I've done my law blogging, I've sort of seen this playing out ever since in Page Six and stuff. They will periodically have a thawing in their ongoing warfare over their child. And which involves, like, it's a bunch of Instagram, like, oh, Rob's a great dad. All this stuff I said before was wrong. Or Rob will be like, oh, and, you know, whatever her real name. I don't know how he addresses her. I don't know if he calls her Blac Chyna or her actual name. Got together for the birthday party and it was really fun to hang out with, you know, my ex or whatever. Like, they'll have those moments, but mostly they're in court filing motions about custody with each other and
complicated
fighting for support. And apparently Dream got one of her birthdays, one of Rob's siblings or half siblings took her up in the same kind of helicopter that, was it Kobe Bryant who?
Yeah.
Anyway, there was some criticism of taking the kid up in the same kind of helicopter that killed, you know, beloved Los Angeles figure Kobe Bryant. Anyway, lots of stuff there with Rob. Some health issues. There's just a lot. But he's sort of the least reality famous of them. He's really backed away from that. I don't think he particularly wants to be a Kardashian.
Milieu. Yeah.
At this point. So
interesting.
I opted not to get too deep into that. Just know, if you want some guilty pleasure deep dive, just go to Page Six and search for Rob Kardashian. Or Blac Chyna. They don't get along. That's pretty much my high altitude hover over the Kardashian plains. We reserve the right to go, like, if Kim and Kanye break up next month, like, we reserve the right to go back and just do an episode on them.
Well, and Caitlyn and Chris's daughters, Kendall and Kylie, no marriages yet. We possibly are not done trying to keep up with the Kardashians. But that was a really fun, very high-level view of a intergenerational, trashy divorces saga connected in spider webs.
Oh, yeah,
all over.
So many people have wanted us to cover, like, some of them or all of them or, like...
Merry Christmas in July, y'all.
Yeah. All right, well, that's car trashy.
So I noticed you didn't give particular trash can ratings, nor did I. I have an idea.
What's that?
Maybe we just assign the whole family, I don't know, 18 acres of trash cans, 1 acre for every season of the show.
That's very good.
Okay.
I think that might accommodate all the trash, all the Kardashian refuse, detritus, and debris.
Depends on what you believe inside your heart. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for yet another week. Don't forget, we got a bunch of extra trash candy sitting over on patreon.com/trashydivorces. We will be back next Sunday with another new hot piping fresh pie.
Edifying, informative, intellectually
trashy.
Soothing.
Until we talk to y'all again.
Wash your paws, but also keep it trashy.
Keep your paws clean. Keep your hearts trashy.
Yeah.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Catch you next week. Trash Pandas, thanks for listening. Trashy Divorces is written and produced by us, Stacey and Alicia, for Hemlock Creatives.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com. Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com.
And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. You can find her at Ratsy's store on Instagram. Check out episode sources, photos, soundtracks, merch store, and more at trashydivorces.com.
Need more trash candy?
Our Patreon community includes some of the bestest humans around, as well as a bunch of bonus content every week.
Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Last but not least, come play with us on social.
We are at Trashy Divorces at Instagram, which Alicia mostly runs.
Twitter, which Stacy mostly runs.
And on Facebook, which we split.
We also have a Trashy Divorces discussion group on Facebook if you want to chat with other Trashy Divorces listeners.
Thanks again for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.